It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Waiver Wire Week 3. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia. That is Kyle Yates and Pro Football Network's own Eric Moody. And it's you. And we're talking Week 3 waiver wire. Oh, my goodness. Can you believe it? Week 3 already. We're looking to add guys, drop guys, maybe have some serious conversations. Week 2 is just about in the books. We got Monday Night Football ahead of us. And I think the good thing is, after Week 2, we learned a little bit more. We got some fears pushed aside. We've got some fears inflated that are now possibly on fire. And we're going to do our best to break it all down for you. We're going to tell you the guys you should be looking to add, running back, wide receiver, all the positions, the streaming defenses, and a whole lot more. But Yates, after Week 2 is now basically done, I think there's certainly some things that we've answered the questions on. So what do you feel better about now that Week 2 is closed, that maybe last week you had some questions going into the week about?
Two running backs come immediately to mind. Ezekiel Elliott, we feel a little bit better. We've still got Tony Pollard hanging over his shoulder. Pollard looked incredible in Week 2. And then Derrick Henry. Welcome back, Derrick Henry. Good night. 3 rushing touchdowns. 35 total carries, 37, something like that. Just ridiculous workload. So after a disappointing Week 1 for both of those guys, we feel a little bit better now. But it was so funny this past week. Like, we got through Week 1, we were like, okay, maybe we're learning a couple of things here. Maybe we're starting to figure things out. And then Week 2 is like, nope, everything got turned on its head. Week 2 was super weird, super crazy week.
It was. The later games were fascinating, fun. I love it. And who would have thought, if you just give the ball to Derrick Henry a bunch, good right? things will happen. What a crazy notion. Who would have thought it? You mentioned Tony Pollard looking good. And Yates, I can't agree more. Explosive, I would say. Fun to watch, I would say. And dare I say, it looks like the Cowboys' offense looks a little bit better, perhaps, when he's on the field. I don't know. I know you can send all your hate mail to me over on Twitter at JoePizzapia17. Eric Moody, how about you? What are you perhaps feeling better about now as Week 2 is now done? And maybe what do you feel a little worse about?
Yeah, I would say one name came to mind about feeling better about, and it is Daniel Jones. Just given his performances, you know, in Week 1 and Week 2, I know he was someone that I was really high on going into this season because he actually had a full and normal NFL offseason. The offseason after his rookie year was obviously impacted by COVID-19. So I think he's really shown some progression and development. So really, really excited about that. And I would say that another thing for where I don't really feel too good about is Ezekiel Elliott. I know we were talking about Zeke offline. Joe, but not a really good situation there, you know, with Elliott. You know, I was concerned about his number of opportunities that he's had thus far in his career, and was hoping, I know hope's not a strategy, right, that going into this season that he would look a lot better. But I think whenever my 9-year-old son's like, that guy looks faster than Zeke, that's a problem.
You know, it's the youth. The children are our future, Eric, you know, and they can see the future. They know what's going on there. But, you know, look, Zeke's not going anywhere. Zeke's still going to be a good running back. Top five running back, that's a question. But,
right.
You know, Zeke's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. But at top five overall, I want more than fine. And
exactly.
We'll see if we can maybe right that ship a little bit. Who knows where the show will go today. But before we go anywhere else, I want to remind everybody, head over to fantasypros.com/contest because we're giving away that autographed Kyler Murray football still. That is basically just an investment in your future, perhaps your children's college funds, because let me tell you something, Kyler Murray is having a fantastic season so far. It's only 2 weeks and I don't want to go crazy, but oh my goodness, how good is Kyler Murray? Look, how fun is he to watch? So thanks to our friends at Pristine Auction, that can be yours. All you have to do is leave a review of the show on Apple Podcasts or CastBox, screenshot that, go to fantasypros.com/contest, upload it. And there you go, you're entered. And if you want 3 times the entry, just subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is growing and growing, kind of like Kyle Yates' hair. It's getting higher every single week. I don't know if you guys noticed this or not. Slightly higher this week than even on Friday. It's really pushing the limits. But go to youtube.com/fantasypros, and that way you get that 3x entry into the contest for the Kyler Murray football. And of course, if you're like me, and you just can't get enough Dan Harris, please subscribe to The Kickoff, the fantasy football podcast with Dan Harris. Every single morning, it's there for you, just like that cup of coffee. Dan Harris, a warm smile, and that sultry voice of Dan's talking you through all the news and notes of fantasy football from the day before, the night before, and the day to come. So make sure you get that little 15 minutes of joy that is The Kickoff with Dan Harris. So there you have it. And of course, guys, you know, before we even jump in, let's talk about some of the news that just dropped too. It looks like Carson Wentz isn't just dealing with one bad ankle, but two. This is certainly a problem, I think. That was a very entertaining game, perhaps for the wrong reasons at times, Eric. But what are your thoughts here on Carson Wentz, his health, and what you saw out of the Colts yesterday offensively?
Yeah, it's not a good situation, especially if you're dealing with a quarterback who somewhat prides himself on being mobile, you know, dealing with two ankle injuries. But then when you take into account the amount of money that the Indianapolis Colts have invested into Carson Wentz, you know, it's less than ideal. I kind of imagine like the Eagles, you know, their front office are over there like, hey, I told you so. I told you so. I told you so. But no, it's not good. So, and I've been even disappointed too with their offensive line, with the way that they've played so far this year. So it's not really anywhere to turn right now. You can't say, well, hey, we're going to lean heavily on the offensive line and Jonathan Taylor, or we're going to lean heavily on Carson Wentz. Because I think at this point, depending on what we find out about that ankle injury, it's not exactly a quarterback that you want there taking a high number of dropbacks and throwing the ball. It's going to put himself out there to potentially get injured even worse. So again, not ideal.
Not ideal. Luckily, the Pittman number was good, so Yates is in a very good mood today. So go ahead, Yates. Go ahead. But Deontay Johnson, good news. Looks like Mike Garofalo from NFL Network is reporting that it's not going to be a, quote, serious injury. So they're hopeful that he can play this week. It did not look good when it happened, Yates. I got to tell you, this is kind of surprising news, but certainly good news. More to the point, what do you make of the Pittsburgh Steelers right now and the Raiders after that game, Yates? Because I don't think anybody saw the Raiders really coming here out of the gates, going 2-0, trying to play Baltimore and Pittsburgh, but they've done just that. And on the flip side, Ben Roethlisberger saying, hey, don't look at me, look at the coordinator. That's not very good.
No, the Pittsburgh Steelers looking disjointed up to this point. You really are not super confident with a lot of these options here. I mean, even Najee Harris, who did find the end zone this past week, even still like not posting great efficiency numbers. So I think with this Pittsburgh Steelers offense, you continue to ride it out. I mean, this is a team that went 11-0 last year to start the season, and then the wheels fell off. We're going to see if they can start to figure things back out. We're still trying to get, you know, the rust shaken off here as we move into the 2021 season. But yeah, Deontay Johnson, I think that even if he does play next week, you mentioned it, Joe, it didn't look like a great injury. So I think it didn't look great when it happened. So I think that even if he does play, I doubt he's going to be 100%. So I might be looking to sit Deontay Johnson this upcoming week, but we'll continue to monitor that as we can move throughout the week.
All right, so let's get after it. Let's talk about the running backs here, and let's talk about the number one target. And of course, we'll rank our top five as well, because we love lists here over at Fantasy Pros, because we know you love lists. So Eric, let's start with you. You're our guest. Who is the number one target for you on the waiver wire when it comes to the running back position in week three?
Yeah, I'll touch on that in a moment. I just had a really good idea, Joe. I think the next time I come on to the show, we need to make sure that Yates shaves his head.
I knew that was coming. I knew that was going to come up, but that's not happening. Nope.
I just keep looking at the screen, and it's just like, it's like, perfect.
I know. Look how handsome we look. And I know. Yates is still, you know, look, Yates, I don't know if it's ever going to happen for you. I don't know what the genetics are in your family, but if it ever happens, take a good look at Eric and myself, because bald is beautiful.
Hey, you guys are pulling it off. I'll give it. Yeah. I'll give that. I'll hand that to you.
Okay. All right. I digress. I'll get back on it. So, you know, the obvious name here, you know, you got to go with Tony Pollard. You know, he rushed 13 times for 109 yards and a touchdown, had three receptions for 31 yards. Bottom line, you know, as my son Noah pointed out, he looks more explosive than Zeke when you watch the film. And to your point, Joe, you know, Elliott's contract suggests that, hey, he's still going to get a ton of touches, but Pollard deserves to be in lineups every week from a fantasy lens, at least as a flex. I'm like, if you look back over his career, you know, heading into this season, he already had four RB1 finishes on his statistical resume while averaging a really, you know, robust, you know, 0.84 fantasy points per opportunity, and he played limited snaps. So he deserves more touches, more snaps. And hopefully we'll be able to continue to see this type of workload for Pollard this week against the Eagles and moving forward. So you got to go with Pollard.
If Pollard's still available in your league, guys, please go pick him up. I don't care if you're how much you got to spend, go do it. And if you're the Zeke owner, pay a little more. Okay, because you just want to have him in there. And it's funny you mentioned this, because I've got a lot of Sermon shares. I was a big Sermon guy coming into the year, and clearly that's not worked out. But this week I had to play Pollard over Sermon because I just had no confidence. So I would say in 4 out of the 12 leagues that I was playing in this week, or about a dozen, that I had Pollard in lineups, and he's a flex right now. He already had 100 carries last year. He was already earmarked for 150 before he even started. I wonder if that number could even be pushed potentially. I'm starting to have questions if that's a bigger number. If he's available, 100% number one. Yates, who is your number one coming into this week that maybe perhaps lesser roster right now?
Yeah, and I think that one name that we'll just toss out that I think does, you know, is above our 50% threshold is Michael Carter, the New York Jets running back. He did start to see an uptick in work here this past week. Looked great. So if he is available on your waiver wire, he would be my first target. Outside of that, the guy that I've got there in the number one spot, as I look at the running back grouping here, it's filled with a bunch of names that I'm like, yeah, maybe if some of these injuries that are kind of hanging around, if they go their way, at the top of the list is Alexander Mattison, just because we don't know yet completely what happened to Dalvin Cook in week two. Now, he was injured, then came back into the game, and then I think injured again, then finished the game. So we don't exactly know what is happening here with Dalvin Cook. We're recording this before, you know, injury reports come out on Monday or any news about Dalvin Cook. So right now, Alexander Mattison is sitting at my number one spot because he is the only guy that I look at this grouping and I say, I want to add him to my roster if we know that Dalvin Cook is out. Otherwise, I'm looking at guys like JD McKissick, Kenneth Gainwell, maybe Kerryon Johnson, if literally all of the San Francisco running backs are out for next week. Like, otherwise, it's just kind of a really gross and underwhelming group that I really just think you're adding to fill some spots on your roster. Whereas with Alexander Mattison, if we get news that Dalvin Cook is going to miss this upcoming week, then he immediately jumps to the territory of you got to add him.
Mm-hmm. Is that a danger? Because last year we played that game with Madison, we thought it would be great, and it wasn't.
Right. I mean, that's 2 years now, right? 2 years. I feel like 2 years
he's been good when Cook's on the field, but when it's been his backfield, it hasn't been good.
Exactly. So there, it comes with the like qualification here of just saying like, don't go crazy with your fab. This is not a guy that you want to spend 50% of your fab on. But right now it's one of the things where I've got him just as the number one placeholder. And then as soon as we get some clarity here, hopefully before waivers run on Tuesday night, then I'll adjust. And he might move all the way down to like 6 or 7 in my running back rankings. But for right now, he's the placeholder at RB1.
Yeah. And as far as the 49ers go, I don't know, man, maybe Frank Gore needs a phone call. I don't know. We got to figure something out of what Ricky Waters is doing right now. Maybe we can get him out of bubble wrap, bring him back. For me, it's actually JD McKissick. The more I'm watching these frustrated Antonio Gibson people out there, and I'm one of them. Don't worry, I have a couple shares myself. JD McKissick becomes more and more of a fascinating guy where maybe he has just got a role in this offense. And in full PPR formats, there's absolutely a reason why you can look at him as a a flex option at least certain weeks, especially because we're going to get closer to buys coming up. And this is the time to grab a player like this that it seems like he's going to be integrated. At least he's got 36% roster percentage there in most leagues. That's certainly means he's available in a lot of other spaces. And look, this, we've just given you three names, right? We've given you in the 10 team league, maybe Pollard's available still. And we've given you, you know, for those people who have Cook and or even concerns at running back or maybe trying to be aggressive, Madison. And here's McKissick, who's kind of like, yeah, it's not real exciting. I'm telling you, it's not nearly as exciting what the other guys just said. But maybe, just maybe, from a depth piece, he can give me 10 to 12 points in a flex spot performance with a good matchup. And that's what I'm looking for. Eric, take me through the rest of your top five running backs, how you rank them going into week three.
Yeah, I know another name that came to mind was Kenneth Gainwell. I know Yates brought him up. You know, I'm really, really high on him. I know in college, you know, he opted out of the 2020 season, you know, due to COVID-19 concerns. But if you look at what he was able to do with Memphis, you know, with the Tigers, I'm like, he had around a little bit under 1,500 rushing yards. You know, he was second in receptions, you know, with 51 during the 2019 season. I think that skill set has translated very well, you know, to the NFL. And I know that Sirianni was looking at Gainwell is potentially, you know, his version in Philadelphia of Nyheim Hines. And we saw what he was able to do. And so if Gainwell's available, and I like how they've used him so far this season, I think his role will only continue to grow. But he's someone that I would prioritize if he's available in your league.
He was my number one last week. Love it. Mm-hmm. All right, so that's your number two. Who's three, four, five, Eric?
Yeah, a couple of the names that come to mind, and I won't piggyback off of what Yates mentioned about Michael Carter. I like him, too, if he's available. Another name, you know, Cordero Patterson. I'm really intrigued with, you know, now how Atlanta is using him. Plus, with his dual eligibility, too, on certain fantasy football, you know, sites have me really intrigued. But, you know, stockpiling 69 yards on 12 touches, you know, including two touchdowns, I'm like, it's something that definitely gets your attention. And if you look at how Mike Davis has struggled in the Falcons' first two games, like, I don't expect a scenario where Patterson is all of a sudden the guy and is getting 20 plus opportunities a game. But I think he has carved out a nice role for himself. And I think the opportunity share that he saw last week can easily continue going into this week and continuing really for the rest of the season. Sony Michel's another one. I know he hasn't had much run with Daryl Henderson really dominating, you know, the opportunity share and touches through the first seven quarters of the season. But still, we go into another week where it's early in the season where we have questions about Henderson's, we'll say, durability, you know, with the rib injury. Right. Then you've got Michel that comes in and, you know, performs, you know, well, you know, 10 rushing attempts for 46 yards. But I'll kind of bring all that together, I would say, on this point. You've got Michel. He had a solid 2020 campaign, just given the situation in New England. When he was on the field and active, he was very productive. But Sean McVay traded for him for a reason and gave up quite a bit when you think of all that for Sony Michel. Is this guy serious? Yeah, you know, he's very serious. So he brought him into the fold. And so I think his role is going to continue to grow, you know, as the season progresses. Another name, you know, James White, you know, I think he gives you a solid flex option each week. You know, he does provide you with a very high floor, and he's accumulated 13 targets so far this season. So those per game target numbers, in my opinion, with Mac Jones under center, are sustainable. You know, you've got a stationary quarterback. You know, it's not mobile. He's not Cam Newton or Jalen Hurts. They do like to use their running backs more as receivers out of the backfield. And so if you need an option where you like, you need a high floor play, I think James White is a great option. I kind of got on a roll there. Do I need to give you one more, Joe?
I think that was five.
Was it five?
You know, math isn't my strong suit, Eric. You know, I'm not going to lie. So no, I think those are all really good options. The Michelle one's fascinating too, because the longer he, you know, gets familiar with the playbook, the more potential he has. And you mentioned the injury. And look, if you look at last year and you saw that Leonard Fournette situation where he was nothing for the first couple weeks of the season, then towards the very last few weeks, all of a sudden he became useful. Who knows? That timetable could move up potentially as we're looking through. So Yates, who are the rest of your top five running backs? And I don't know if Cordero Patterson's on that list because I was struggling whether or not to put him at wide receiver or running back myself to talk about him today. But Eric brings up some great points about Patterson. I'm sure he qualifies at Yahoo because, you know, if you kicked a ball once, you're a kicker for the rest of your life on Yahoo. The way the qualifications possibly work there. But Yates, who's your top five guys after your number one of Madison?
Of course. Yeah, we'll talk about Cordero Patterson in the wide receiver section because I definitely want to spend some time talking about him. at the running back position, I do have J.D. McKissick at number two. However, this comes with just saying I don't really want to add J.D. McKissick. He is at number two just based on the fact of the other options, right? In week one, he had two total opportunities, right? Targets and catches, or targets and carries on 20 snaps in week one. McKissick saw 10 total opportunities on 31 snaps in week two. So his usage did increase, but I think a part of this was Antonio Gibson missing time in practice on a short week. So I think as we now have the extended, you know, rest time here for Gibson, I'm not panicking on Antonio Gibson. I think that he is still in line for a massive workload here. McKissick will see some work here or there, but to the point where I'm going to go out there and add him because he found the end zone last week, I can't get on board with that. But again, he's my number two option. Kenneth Gainwell at number three. I just don't know if the usage is going to be there enough to provide weekly flex value. Kerryon Johnson is at four for the time being until we get some more clarity on this 49ers running back situation. That is, he's purely at number four because you might need a running back. You might have had Elijah Mitchell. You might have had, you know, Trey Sermon or something like that. And you need to be able to fill that running back spot on your roster. If these guys miss, Kerryon Johnson is probably going to be called up from the practice squad and could be playing here in week three. And then Zach Moss at number five. And Zach Moss, with what he did, right, there, a lot of people are going to see two rushing touchdowns this past week. And they're going to go, oh, man, I've got a locked and loaded, maybe RB2 moving forward if they're new to playing fantasy football and they don't understand the Bills backfield. Guys, Buffalo is not going to be up 28 to nothing, 35 to nothing every single week where they are just simply running out the clock. This is not the way that Buffalo operates on offense. Zach Moss scratched in week one, now comes back in here, only still sees eight carries in the game. So I still don't have faith in the usage of Zach Moss. In games that are closer, we're going to see Josh Allen be that goal line back. So Zach Moss is at number five for me, but still not looking to go out and add Zach Moss. It's just because the running back waiver wire this week, kind of underwhelming.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And Singletary actually looked better than Moss if you watch the game. Pretty much the same guys that we've all got here. I've got McKissick at one. I've got Kenneth Gainwell at two. I actually have Ty Johnson at three. And I can't really quantify this or qualify this with a lot of stats. It's just a visual test of watching that game yesterday. And Ty Johnson looked better to me running the football than anybody else in that Jets backfield, to me. And they're going to have a tough road ahead of them going on the road to Denver. They're going to have to take some pressure off Zach Wilson here, and I think they're going to have to commit to the run a little bit more heartily, perhaps. And, of course, it helps not to get far behind by throwing the ball to the other team so often, so early in the game. But I think Ty Johnson is one of these guys. If you are desperately searching at running back right now, I think there's worse guys to add. So he's three for me, Moss is four, and Hasty for five right now for me. That's my grouping. If indeed we get news on Cook, Madison would then move up probably towards three for me, if not higher for two, because it seems like it would only be a 1 week kind of thing. And I don't want to burn a whole lot of fab for that. So that's kind of where I'm at. Let's go over to the wide receivers. But of course, before we do, I want to tell you about TickPick. TickPick is the coolest way for you to now get your NFL tickets. NFL stadiums are finally being packed again, and that is a good feeling. And TickPick is the original no-fee ticket site, teaming up with Zip, the buy now, pay later service, providing you with five huge season ticket packages for the 2022 season. You'll have five chances to win 2022 season tickets to your favorite NFL team with a drawing every month from now until February, and each package is valued at $3,000. You can enter today by going to tickpick.com/pros. Again, that's TickPick.com/pros. TickPick should be your first choice to buy NFL tickets because they save fans money by never charging any service fees ever. And if you're like me and you hate the service fees, it's like paying for a whole other ticket for a person that's not even going with you. I hate it. It's just a little personal feeling for me. I want to share here and get some therapy. But you can buy now and pay later also for those tickets using Zip. So don't waste your time comparing ticket prices all across multiple sites because TickPick guarantees the best prices on NFL games. So by not charging service fees, they've saved their users over $55 million and counting. If you don't believe it, well, you better go check it out for yourself. So once again, go to TickPick.com. That's TickPick.com/pros. And go start getting your NFL tickets. And don't forget, $10 off your first order when you select Zip at checkout. So let's go over and check out the wide receivers. See what I did there? Like the smooth transition of checkout. Let's talk wide receivers. Eric Moody, you are up first. Give me your number one guy that you must have on the waiver wire for week three at wideout.
I'd be surprised if we're not like aligned on this, but you got to go with Rondale Moore.
Yeah, woohoo!
I'm like, given that performance, I'm like, you know, he went into boss mode for him, you know, against the Vikings. I'm like, he led the Cardinals of eight targets, 114 yards, and a touchdown. I'm looking at him. He's definitely a solid, you know, wide receiver three each week with upside. I'm like, you look at Kyler Murray, his progression as a professional quarterback in the NFL and the rapport that he's starting to build, it's only going to get stronger as the season progresses. So you look at this week, you know, the Cardinals face the Jaguars. So obviously a good matchup. That's followed up by the Rams, 49ers. Week 6 and 7 are really attractive. They got Browns and Texans. Also, if you look ahead from like weeks 15 through 17, like the Cardinals face the Lions, Colts, and Cowboys. So it's in the realm of possibility that if we're able to land someone like Rondale Moore, he could end up potentially being like a league winner, you know, at the wide receiver position as the season progresses. So I want to go ahead and acquire him now if I can. And I know he's the number one option for me. I would say number two, Henry Ruggs. I know we were talking about Mr. Derek Carr and his performance. Ruggs, again, he went boom after a quiet week one. Against the Steelers, you know, he caught 5 of a team high 8 targets for 113 yards and a touchdown. He's the type of player, anytime he touches the ball, he has the potential to go boom and really to create like a big play anytime he touches the ball. So we got a taste of that, obviously, yesterday against the Steelers. So he has a favorable matchup this week. Likewise, of Derek Carr, you know, against the Dolphins. So Ruggs is someone that immediately comes to mind. Tim Patrick's another one. I know he was someone kind of leading up to Sunday's slate of games, that someone that I talked about quite a bit, you know, at Pro Football Network, you know, on our podcast that we have there, and also in certain articles for where, you know, he's someone that's going to have a role, you know, with Jerry Jeudy, you know, being sidelined. He only caught 3 passes and scored a touchdown, but my big takeaway from that game is that Patrick is clearly established like as a Broncos number 2 receiver, you know, while Jeudy is out. And so they've got a really great matchup, obviously, going up against the Jets. So he's a nice option in deeper formats. KJ Osborne. Anytime I say Osborne, I want to think about Spider-Man and Norman Osborne. I digress. I won't, you know, I won't speak.
That's right.
Again.
You know, this is a safe place to talk about that with me. So we've established that, you and I. We have that rapport.
We do. So I'm glad you said that. But I won't mention.
You know what's funny? I just showed my kids the original Tobey Maguire Spider-Man a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
They liked it, but it's funny how campy it is in retrospect. Like, it's a little over the top, and then that second one was even more over the top. There's especially towards
the
end.
The third one.
I was like, I don't even know if I can show you the third one because that's just the second one. Eric, that scene there where Tobey Maguire is screaming no in the second one, two of them on the couch burst out laughing, like hilarious, falling off the couch. They couldn't get enough of it. But it's a wee bit over the top, but that's kind of the joy of the Spider-Man.
That's how it goes. But anyway, I digress once again. I'll bring us back together. So KJ Osborne, someone I was really excited about going into this week. You know, I had him in a number of DFS lineups this season. I'm like, he's accumulated 15 targets so far this season. Currently leads the Vikings in receiving yards. You know, he had the 5 receptions, 91 receiving yards, and a touchdown, you know, against the Cardinals. He's a weekly, you know, wide receiver 4, in my opinion. But it'll be interesting to see if the coaching staff decides to make a shift to run really more 11 personnel, just given how Osborne has performed. So again, he's someone, if you need a wide receiver, I recommend targeting. Just to close it out with that top 5, I'd say Emmanuel Sanders is another one. I know a lot of people are enamored by Gabriel Davis and the breakout, but if you look at number of routes run, you know, targets, production, all those statistical measures, Emmanuel Sanders has really established himself as the number 2 option. But again, a lot of people at his age and just the situation just don't want to acknowledge that. So take advantage of that in your league and go ahead and land Sanders. So those are my top 5, Joe.
All right. Well, my number 1 is Rondale Moore, just like you. He was my number 2 last week. I was very high on Rondale Moore from what I saw, a small sample. And my goodness, it is just so good. You know, you look at the matchup potentially coming up this week against Jacksonville. I'm willing to overpay a little bit to get Rondale Moore on my roster because this is just where we're starting. And I think the other thing, too, I want to throw out there, and Yates, I don't know if Moore is your number 1. I'm not going to be presumptuous here. I don't want to spoil the fun. But people will see AJ Green on the wire, too, and they'll remember that name and be familiar with it, and they'll see the touchdown. But if you actually saw the contest, you'll see moments there where AJ Green drop balls. AJ Green should have had more points. And the touchdown points basically covered up a mediocre game, in my opinion, from AJ Green. The Rondale Moore game was not mediocre. The Rondale Moore game was strong. So, Yates, with that being said, who is your number 1 wide receiver to add on the waiver wire in week 3?
There's a tier at the top for me of 1, 2, 3. Okay, so I've got Rondale Moore at number 1. And that is because of the production. We cannot ignore what he is doing. And his yards after the catch, that's always been special. We knew that was going to be the case. Now, I think he's being more consistent than I anticipated coming into the season because Arizona's having to throw a lot to keep up in these matches. Kyler Murray is just performing like ridiculously well. So we're seeing Rondale Moore despite a limited snap count, right? Only 20 snaps in week one, 28 in week two, according to PFF. Like he's still not on the field a ton, but he is still producing. And of course, aided by the, 77-yard, you know, touchdown, the breakaway break in coverage, right?
Doesn't that kind of add in because Kyler Murray style?
No, because he can break away. I'm not trying to take that away from him. I'm just saying like his numbers.
That's not like an anomaly, I feel like, this year. No, for sure. I think they're going
to
see more of that.
For sure. And I'm just teeing that up to be able to say, like, despite all of that, despite the, like, breakdown in coverage, Rondale Moore is still special. He's still incredibly special. Now, I am still interested to see what happens when we do see Arizona maybe get out to a big lead here, like in Jacksonville. Do we see Rondale Moore only log 18, 20 snaps and he only gets 3 targets next week? So I'm still, and maybe it's a Christian Kirk week, maybe it's an AJ Green, because we know the ball is going to go to DeAndre Hopkins and then it's going to be inconsistent after that. But Rondale Moore has shown enough where he deserves to be rostered everywhere. So that's why he's at number one. It's a conversation of how far do you trust him into that like wide receiver 3 flex territory in your like in your start sit considerations. That's where I want to just pump the brakes a little bit. But he absolutely deserves to be rostered. Number two for me is Darnell Mooney. Darnell Mooney, the Chicago Bears wide receiver. Throughout the entire offseason, Joe, you and I were talking about Mooney, saying at where he was going, wide receiver 50, 54, whatever it was in ADP, in our ADP consensus, it was saying Darnell Mooney is probably going to be relevant when Andy Dalton is the starting quarterback. But then as soon as we see Justin Fields take over, he has top 24 upside. And I still believe that. And even with Andy Dalton as the quarterback, we were seeing Mooney start to get involved. He's still 15 targets through 2 weeks here. He's producing. He's a key part of this offense. And now we have the potential where Andy Dalton, he avoided major ligament damage. So we should see him back this season. But it's a question of if he's going to be back this week. It's kind of the same conversation as Rondale Moore. He deserves to be rostered everywhere because of his upside. He is producing in this offense here. So Darnell Mooney at number two, and then Tim Patrick for me at number three for a lot of the reasons Eric mentioned. I mean, I was on Tim Patrick last week as my number one waiver wire pickup, saying you got to get this guy on your roster because he's going to have a clear role here and some fantastic matchups moving forward. Jacksonville last week, the New York Jets this week. Like you need to be picking up Tim Patrick. He's still only at 17.3% rostered across the leagues here. So it's just crazy to see that Tim Patrick absolutely deserves to be picked up along with Rondale Moore and Darnell Mooney.
Yeah, could not agree more. So wait, did you go through all five there, or that was the three? You've only got
sorry,
four.
Yeah, that was my top tier there. So then number four, and this is where I wanted to spend some time, is Cordarrelle Patterson. Okay. Because Cordarrelle Patterson is listed as a wide receiver in our expert platform here at Fantasy Pros. He has dual eligibility, most likely wherever you play fantasy football. So Cordarrelle Patterson, we get asked a question every single week, Joe, and we get asked for this waiver wire article. We say, we get asked, who is the most difficult player for you to rank? And for me, it's Cordarrelle Patterson this week, because we've seen, not to this level, but we've seen stuff from Cordarrelle Patterson previously where he's shown up. He's flashed, pun intended, and he has come through and has performed well for fantasy football, and then he's disappeared in previous weeks. However, Mike Davis seems to be a non-factor essentially in this offense. Wayne Gallman, non-factor. It looks like they are using Cordarrelle Patterson truly as a running back and getting him out wide as a wide receiver. So they are using Cordarrelle Patterson in this offense, whereas in previous systems that he's been in, Minnesota, Chicago, whatever, he hasn't been used a ton. He's been as kind of that gadget play, trick play guy. Whereas now he's being given a significant opportunity share in this offense. So Cordarrelle Patterson is a guy that I am interested in adding. I don't have complete faith in him just yet. I want to see what it looks like moving forward before I start to consider putting him into my starting lineup. But he is at four, Henry Ruggs at five. I'm a big believer in the talent of Henry Ruggs. I think that we are starting to see if Derek Carr is currently on pace. I know that on pace is a ridiculous argument, but it's kind of fun. 6,944 passing yards this season. Like,
is that all?
Yeah. Is that all? 93 pass attempts, I think, through two games. Like, it is just ridiculous what we're seeing Derek Carr do. And if that is the case, not all of them are going to Darren Waller, not all of the targets. He's starting to involve Brian Edwards, Hunter Renfrow, his receivers here, Henry Ruggs. Ruggs has the talent. I'm buying into that. I've got him at five.
Yeah, and look, the Cordarrelle Patterson journey has been a fascinating one from, oh my goodness, we're so excited in Minnesota about the talent of this guy and what he could do for us on returns and as a wide receiver and all this stuff. And it just never came to fruition. And then he bounced around and started getting carries, you know, for the Patriots and for the Bears and all this. It's such a weird journey that he's been on. And to see where he is now in these first 2 weeks, it's tough to buy in. I'm with you. It's definitely tough. I think we might not have a choice. I think we might have to buy in, especially since the schedule is getting better for the Falcons in the next couple weeks, too, right, than it was in the first 2 weeks. So it might only be able to get better. Rondale Moore, as I mentioned, my number one. You know, when plays break down, that is the strength of Kyler Murray. And I think that might also be the strength of Rondale Moore. So I think we're just going to see a whole lot more of this over the year, these highlight reel plays of Murray, you know, running to the right. It's not there. He runs back to the left and look, oh, Rondale Moore somehow has found himself open. And that's going to be something we find a lot. Darnell Mooney, definitely number two for me. The fact, look, he's rostered in 47% of leagues right now. So chances are he is not available. But if he is, be aggressive, because if you're looking right now ahead, even if Andy Dalton could play this week, after that, Detroit, that is the game you circle to start Justin Fields. He's going to start against the Lions. You don't have to be a genius to figure this out. And if I'm wrong, I'll take the heat on it, but pretty sure that's where we're going here. Can we just get past these first few weeks of these tough matchups? Can we get past the Rams? Can we get past, you know, this matchup here? And then eventually, yes, oh, perfect. Let's start Justin Fields against the Lions and hope we can build the confidence from there. Cordarrelle Patterson's my three because of all the reasons Yates said. I'm not going to double up on that. And yes, I am equally terrified that I'm throwing my money away, but he's got the Giants this week. So at the very least, I got to try. Tim Patrick looked very good. He was a guy who was very high on our waiver wire show last week. Hopefully you added him and put him in, because if you did, you did okay. And that Jets secondary is not very good. He's going to have the Jets at home next week, so that's a good matchup. And I've got Ruggs at five, but I was struggling with Osborne. I love Eric's Osborne call, because this was a player week one. I was concerned, all right, is this the guy that came out of nowhere week one and he disappears? But there was a lot of three wide receiver sets being run there for the Minnesota Vikings, especially with Irv Smith being out now. And Eric, it's starting to feel like Osborne, with the amount of, you know, targets he's getting and the rate in which he's catching them, might be here to stay. So that's tricky. So Osborne and Ruggs, if those two guys are on your waiver wire, Eric, which one would you be more apt to add? You want to buy into what you saw yesterday out of Ruggs or what you saw for the last 2 weeks out of Osborne?
Yeah, I would, you know, my gut reaction is telling me Ruggs, just because you look at that offense, they're going to throw the ball, you know, Derek Carr, the way he's playing, he's had solid play for years. So it's not like a new occurrence. Oh, it's Derek Carr. I'm like, if you look at, I think going back to like 2018, I think he's finished as a QB2 or better, like in 75% of his games. And so when you pair Carr with Ruggs going into year two, they had a really good offseason together. At least what's been publicized, Ruggs would be the option, because at the end of the day, you know, Dalvin Cook is the engine that propels the Vikings offense. Then you've got Adam Thielen and you also have Justin Jefferson. They're going to get targets. So I just rather roll the dice of Ruggs.
Let's take a quick break from the action to tell you about DraftKings. It's been a great start to the NFL season and it's only getting better at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. DraftKings is putting new customers in the center of the action with free shots at $1 million in total prizes. Get in on the action now. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Feel the NFL action like never before. With a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes, DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. And the best part is you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings app now and use the promo code FANTASYPROS. This week, new customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Enter code FANTASYPROS to get a free shot at millions in total prizes with your first deposit. That's code FANTASYPROS only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. All right, let's move on to the quarterback position here. Derek Carr, clearly at the top here to be rostered. Yates, I'm going to start with you with this question, because this is an important one. He's rostered in about roughly 20% of formats, obviously so. Is Derek Carr right now a guy that, if you've had some quarterback woes on your team and you don't like what's going on, forget even Superflex. Let's just say it's a 14-team league. Would you be running out there to try to get Derek Carr if he was still somehow on the waiver wire?
I think... No, not yet. I think with Derek Carr, he's still in the streaming quarterback conversation for me.
Okay.
So in that instance, I'm going to play the better matchups this upcoming week. I'm still treating Derek Carr as a streaming quarterback. He's performing extremely well. Like, and he can be a very, very valuable streaming quarterback at QB2 in Superflex leagues. Absolutely sign me up. However, this upcoming week, I want to play Teddy Bridgewater at the New York Jets over him. I want to play Daniel Jones up against Atlanta. That feels gross to say, but I want to play Daniel Jones at Atlanta.
No, I agree.
Over Derek Carr. I mean, Daniel Jones, what? I mean, he 95 rushing yards last week, could have had what, 160 if that holding call hadn't been recognized. So yeah, I think Daniel Jones is a guy that you can plug in there as a streaming quarterback, especially up against Atlanta. And then Sam Darnold going up against Houston. I'm fine to play Sam Darnold against Houston over Derek Carr at Miami. So Carr, I think if you are in a super flex league, then he is the guy, obviously, that I want as a QB2. He's rock solid, and I can live with the potential ups and downs, but we're treating this as one quarterback league advice. And so for me, that is Teddy Bridgewater, Daniel Jones, Sam Darnold, and then Derek Carr over him.
All right, that seems fair. How would you order the quarterbacks that are out there potentially, Eric, that you want to either stream or, you know, you don't like what's going on? Let's say it's a deeper league and you're saying, I drafted Roethlisberger. I thought he'd be safe. And you know what? Doesn't feel very safe, and he feels like he's mad at the world. Is there an opportunity here with Darnold against Houston? And look, even let's talk about Miami too, because Miami, if indeed Tua is not going to play, that could stress this defense quite a bit. That already looked pretty stressed playing the Buffalo Bills this past weekend. I gotta say, maybe that matchup is not as scary as we think it is on paper, and it's going to be in their building in Las Vegas.
Yeah, it's. I was just thinking about the names that that Gates went through. I think we're aligned on a lot of them. My order may be a little bit different. I would say for me, it's Daniel Jones at the top. It's underrated, I would say, when you think about like a player's offseason. I know I mentioned that at the beginning of the show, and I think he really had a great offseason, and we're starting to see that come to fruition. Plus, he's got the dual threat ability that everyone that follows fantasy football is enamored with right now. And we've seen that through two games, 516 passing yards, two passing touchdowns, 122 rushing yards, and two rushing, TDs. You know, everybody loves that. But he's got a really good supporting cast. I know he's got Sterling Shepard, who's going, playing really, really well. Saquon Barkley, Darius Slayton. We haven't even seen the full strength Kenny Galladay and Daniel Jones, with that rapport. I know they missed a lot of time, I would say, during the summer in preseason. But when you look at the schedule too, just to bring all those factors together, the Falcons, Saints, Cowboys, Rams, Panthers, Chiefs, and Raiders before going into their bye week, I'm like, it's in the realm of possibility that we're looking at numerous QB1 performances from Jones. So I have a little bit more confidence in Derek Carr than Yates. And again, I just kind of fact checked that stat, so it was correct. So he's averaged like 18.6 fantasy points per game from 2018 to 2020. QB2 finish in 75% of them. The Raiders, they faced the Dolphins defense this week. Definitely another streamable matchup. But when you just look at his supporting cast, I'm like, he's got Kenyon Drake that's there. Josh Jacobs, whenever he returns and gets healthy. So he's got, running backs that's there. Receivers, he's got Ruggs. He's, of course, got Darren Waller. But he's got, the experience at this point that I think he could prosper really in any matchup that's thrown, at him. He's not like a rookie or second-year quarterback. It's hard to believe how long Derek Carr has been in the league. But I think any matchup, even if it's not favorable, I think he can give you some pretty solid, production. Yates and I are definitely aligned with Teddy Bridgewater. I know he was a streamer that I recommended quite a bit, last week in articles at Pro Football Network. And so he's had, some early season success, and the train keeps moving, even if Jerry Jeudy is out. The rapport that he had, like with Cortland Sutton, was like a joy to behold. Watching that game, I was just like, yes. I'm like, these guys are calibrated. And we saw the results, and it's you can't follow the NFL if not getting excited about what you saw in that game. And he's obviously going to be on the streaming radar this week against the Jets. Sam Darnold, I'll have another pun here. It's difficult to succeed, with the Jets when your success or failure is tied to one of the NFL's worst, head coaches / offensive coordinator gurus, whose name we will not speak, a bottom tier offensive line, a lack of weapons, an inept front office. I know that's harsh criticism, but, they've made some poor moves up there in New York. Now he's here in Carolina. He's got a coach just like, hey, we want you. And ultimately, that's all that you need mentally. If you're an NFL player, like, hey, these guys, they want me here. He's surrounded with weapons. And we've seen the results on what Darnold, you know, can do. You know, he threw for 300 or more yards and two touchdowns against the Saints. I don't think we expected to see that just given the Saints defense. So, you know, he gets the Texans this week, you know, Darnold. That's followed up by the Cowboys, Eagles, and Vikings. So, again, very streamable schedule. So those would be my top five, Joe.
All right. Answer me this, guys. Yates, I'll start with you. Darnold, Bridgewater, Jones. In a Superflex league, who would you rather have as your QB2 rest of season? Darnold, Bridgewater, or Daniel Jones, Yates?
Oh, that's a really good question. I don't want Daniel Jones. Sorry, Eric. I'm going to go with Sam Darnold there. I just think with the receiving cast, I mean, with what Sam Darnold has, all he has to do is just get the ball to DJ Moore, get the ball to Christian McCaffrey, right? Like, so I think Daniel Jones, the rushing, like if he is going to continue to be used as heavily as a runner as he has been here to start the season, then that could change it. Where he starts to rise up into that low-end, consistent low-end QB2, maybe gets a bump up in the plus matchups here. Sam Darnold, I think all he has to do is just get the ball out, and mm-hmm. I think that he is succeeding in that. And consider this, like he's been in QB17, QB12 right now, right before the games tonight as far as fantasy finishes throughout the first 2 weeks, but he's still getting used to this scheme. Like he's still getting used to playing with these guys. So if he continues to progress, I think Sam Darnold would be the answer there. Teddy Bridgewater, I think, just falls a little bit below that.
I would have picked Sam Darnold too. And I think this matchup against Houston is another confidence builder. But even before the season started, we talked about Sam Darnold being that guy you could draft as your third quarterback, and he might play a lot more than you think. And it's starting to feel like that because we also talked distinctly about when you dump the ball off to Christian McCaffrey and he goes and runs for 45 yards. Well, guess what? All those yards count for Sam Darnold and that pads your stats. And I think the more confidence, the more clarity he gets in this offense, the better he looks. And Eric, would you also pick Darnold over Bridgewater and Jones rest of the season? Because right now there's a lot of people who are looking in Superflex leagues for answers at quarterback because there's been some underperformers and some injuries in these last few weeks here that have been absolutely brutal. So is Sam Darnold the answer? Is Bridgewater the answer? Or is Jones the answer?
It's tough. That again, really good question. Joe, I'm going to go with my gut. I'm going to go with my gut here. Yates is going to dry heave, but I'm going to go with Daniel Jones here. I'm not going to reiterate the reasons, the points that I made. Everyone can see the stats and everything there. But I'll look at it from a different lens. You've got someone that's in one of the, probably the biggest media market in the world, New York. The camera's always on, the spotlight, it shines bright. You know, they'll eviscerate you when you don't perform well. And I think that the taste that was left into his mouth like last season with the way he performed, he knew going into this season it was really a make or break season, really a career defining season. Because if he implodes this year, like that's going to impact the rest of his NFL career. So it's kind of like if you're working at a company and you're an employee, you've kind of had subpar performance and you got your supervisor coming up to you just saying, you know what? I'm like, things haven't really gone as well. I know I've given you the coaching. You know, I've done this, I've done that. We're going to put you on a performance improvement plan. The next step could be, you know, corrective action, you know, which could potentially lead to, you know, termination. And so the reason I'm saying that is that that's the kind of situation that Jones is in for this year. And I think he's rising to the occasion. And I think that level of play will be able to continue when you see the supporting cast that he's surrounded with, his situation. He needs to perform well. If the Giants sink like the Titanic and you can't say, hey, it was Daniel Jones's fault, that's what he's looking for. He's saying, I want to give this team everything that I can to succeed and for me to be successful, because he wants to earn a career-defining payday once his rookie contract and all that unfolds. So that's the reason, and I'll take a different angle from it, that I would go with Jones. Again, it's not a fancy stat that I can use to quantify that. It's just kind of looking at it from different lenses.
The rushing upside alone, I think, is enough of an argument to hold water. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's insane to think that they could play better, especially if Saquon Barkley starts to, you know, shake the rust off a little bit these next couple of weeks. And you mentioned the schedule. The schedule is favorable for that. Yeah. And if it's favorable for that, then things can only get better potentially for Daniel Jones. Yeah. And it's funny how much he does rush the football, but yet he seems faster. It's weird. It almost seems like he's faster. Like when you're watching him on TV, you're going, how is everyone missing him? Isn't that weird? Like he must be faster than we realize, because constantly I'm watching these defenders who should be faster theoretically than Daniel Jones miss Daniel Jones. And I can't wrap my mind around it. Every single year I watch it happen, and every single year I get more and more confused about why it's happening. But I guess we just can't figure it out. Speaking of not figuring it out, let's talk about tight end. hopefully you drafted Rob Gronkowski and you're not here on the waiver wire right now, because, oh my goodness, two more touchdowns for Gronk this week. I just had to say it out loud because it's just absurd. It's fantastic. It's so much fun. But the tight end waiver wire is a little barren right now, Yates. Where are you going for tight end? Is it just as simple as Austin Hooper and get out of the way? Or is there anybody else you want to make a case for?
No, there really isn't an answer here for where you can plug in a tight end next week and feel comfortable, right? Like, after you get past what, the top seven, top eight tight ends, they all stink. I think that's Dan Harris's like coined phrase. Like, past the top six, all your tight ends stink. So I think you're looking for, potentially in this conversation, you're looking for the long-term play. You're looking for that guy who could potentially step in. And for me, at the top of the list, it is Pat Freiermuth, the Pittsburgh Steelers tight end. He's now seen 62 total snaps to Eric Ebron's 51 through the first two games here. We're starting to see Freiermuth take over this tight end one role here in this offense. Now, this offense might not be one that we necessarily want a ton of pieces with to do with here in 2021, but I think that there is the opportunity there, because once you get past it, you go Dawson Knox, okay, maybe, like, he's starting to become a part of the offense, maybe he found the end zone this past week. Max Williams, that was about as fluke of a game that I think we will ever see. Like, the Arizona Cardinals do not use their tight ends primarily, do not go out there and try to spend significant fab on Max Williams, because he put up what, 95 yards in week two. I just don't go chasing after that. Don't go chasing waterfalls. Jack Doyle at four for me, Austin Hooper at five, and then Juwan Johnson at six. Like, any of those guys you can put into your starting lineup, but you probably should not.
All right, so Yates is sticking to the rivers and the lakes that he's used to. How about you, Eric? When you're looking at tight end, is there somebody that you're looking for?
You know, I tell you, when I was kind of thinking about this question coming, and I agree with Dan, it's like it's like a desolate, like, wasteland out there. It's Mad Max apocalyptic esque. And I'm just like, I have to kind of put my stamp on somebody here, but I would say Austin Hooper is probably the guy that I would prioritize, you know, just given the situation with the Browns. You know, unfortunately, the wide receivers are dropping like flies that are there. And I think Hooper could see more usage. And I do like his matchup this week. So that's one name. As far as, like, with Max Williams, Yates brought up some really good points. And I do agree, you know, the Cardinals rarely feature their tight end. And it's possible. You look at the 7 reception, 94 yard performance from Williams is like a fluke. You know, it's not sustainable. What kind of has me fascinated when kind of doing some early research on matchups, though, is that I think he's in a good position as a streamer this week, depending on the depth of the league that you're in.
Right.
The Jaguars, I'm like, they allowed, like, a lot of catches to Pharaoh Brown. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that okay.
Yep.
I just know it's spelled not like Pharaoh. I'm thinking Egypt when I was typing up an article where I mentioned him. But again, I digress. But, you know, you gave up a touchdown. You know, a lot, I would say a lot of catches of Brown. And I'm thinking about Noah Fant's performance, too. That's where my thoughts are kind of getting gerbled together. I'm like, he had a solid outing against him as well. So if you're in desperate need of a streamer, roll the dice with Max Williams. So I would say out for the next three, you're really going to make me do this, Joe? God.
No, man. No. You can say I don't like any of them, and we can move on to streaming defense right now. Because I don't think it's worth spending time on.
All right.
I think Freiermuth is interesting in the deeper leagues. And,
yeah.
And Yates is right. I think this kid has a lot more talent because of Pitts. That's all we could talk about was Pitts.
Yeah.
You know, I want to ask this question, though, because I just did a show with Chris Meaney, and we talked about this.
Yeah.
And he asked me this question, so I want to put it to you because I think it's a great one.
All right.
Eric, going forward, where would you put Rob Gronkowski rest of season at tight end?
Clearly
you've got still Waller and Kelsey, right? Do you want to push him to three? Do you want to push him up to four? Like, is Kittle still ahead of him after these first 2 weeks of this bizarre San Francisco offense that we've seen running out here?
Yeah, I would say I'd be comfortable putting him at four.
Okay. Over Hockenson at this point, like, we kind of feel okay about that. Maybe tonight we'll feel differently. I don't know.
Yeah, because I think if you look at a lot of those different factors, I think the only thing that's going to keep Gronkowski, obviously if he stays healthy, from elevating himself to that upper tier, is really just with all the different weapons that you know, that I was going to say New England, but
so old habits die hard.
I know all the weapons that the Buccaneers have, and it's just like, you just wonder if he's going to get those consistent targets. But then you can't quantify the Brady effect. I'm like, these guys have rapport, they've won championships, and if the guy gets open, Brady is going to find him. He's an equal opportunity distributor Gronk's open, that's where the ball's going. And I think Gronk's going to be in a position with all those different weapons that they have, you know, terrorizing cornerbacks on the outside, that he's going to find seams and get open, like, up the middle. So I'd be very comfortable putting him at four. I know folks are enamored, like, with the Mark Andrews of the world, you know, the Hockenson's, but you got to think about it. I'm like, Hockenson's getting the ball delivered to him from Jared Goff. You know, just the thought of that may make you kind of shudder. And I know he does favor his tight end, but still, I'd rather roll the dice of Brady and Gronk, and I would elevate him to tight end four.
Yates, how about for you? I mean, I know it feels kind of dirty that we're asking ourselves this question. Do we want to push him above Kyle Pitts and Hockenson and all these guys? But you know what? Maybe this is a huge just swing and a miss by the industry at large that we didn't see this coming enough, because week one, maybe you can call it a fluke. After 2 weeks and looking at what's going on, Eric's right. With all those wide receivers, it's impossible to almost stop Rob Gronkowski right now in the red zone.
Oh, right. Yeah, I mean, the attention that, you know, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Antonio Brown, that they command, it's going to leave Gronk in some favorable one-on-one matchups. So I think you ask where exactly I have Gronk in my rest of season rankings. Well, over at fantasypros.com, you can find all of our rest of season rankings. And so I have Rob Gronkowski currently at tight end six. I still have TJ Hockenson above him. That could change after what we see here tonight. But then Mark Andrews still at five. And then Gronk at six, but I did move him above Kyle Pitts, who's at seven for me, and Logan Thomas at eight, Tyler Higbee at nine. So I think Gronk, yeah, if he's going to continue to be as integral of a part of this offense as he has been over the first 2 weeks, then I think there's a path that he could rise even higher than that by this time next week.
All right. In a second, we're going to play our rapid fire drop or keep round, where we're going to ask the guys the name of a player on the fringe of being kept or dropped and what they would do with them on their roster. But before we do, tell me your streaming defenses of the week. For me, boys, it's the Arizona Cardinals against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ooh-wee, that Jaguars offensive line is not great. And I think Chandler Jones might have himself another big day, potentially. I also like what I see out of Simmons every week. He just gets better and better, I feel like. This Arizona Cardinals defense did give up some big plays to Minnesota, but it's a little different story for me. So Arizona's top of my streaming defense list. Yates, do you have one that's at the top of your list that you want to stream this week?
I do. It's Carolina. Carolina Panthers defense has actually been really impressive through the first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And now they get to take on Davis Mills on a short week. So yeah, Carolina Panthers at the top of the list for me, and then Arizona Cardinals, then the New York Giants, then Las Vegas Raiders. And I think Raiders could move up here if we get word that Jacoby Brissett is going to start. Right now we got word during this podcast that Tua Tagovailoa is day to day with that rib injury. So Tua might still play this week. So that's why I've got Las Vegas at four, but they're also just a fine defense to pick up in case that Jacoby Brissett does start.
Now, IDP nerds like myself realized last year that some of those guys in Carolina started to play better football.
Yeah.
And as things went on, and
they're fun defense.
They're young, they're athletic, they were so green, and you would see them get exposed last year where the better quarterbacks would make them look foolish at certain times because they would be too aggressive in some spots. But as the season went on, they started to play better. I love the Carolina Panthers call, Yates. I think that's a tremendous one against Houston. Chin's playing out of his mind. Yep. Burns is a nice player. They've got some guys there. How about for you, Eric? Is there one in particular streaming defense you like this week?
Yeah, Yates hit the head of the nail, like, of Carolina. And you brought up some really good points. You know, I'm an IDP junkie as well. And they just have a lot of young pieces on defense that I think are really, really starting to come together. And I think we've seen that come to fruition. So I would say the Panthers would be my top one. You know, I was thinking about the Saints. You know, I'm a Saints fan, but got my Willie Rofe jersey back here.
That's a good one.
Yeah, but I am I'm just worried about what I saw last week. You know, I'm just like, man, are they going to be able to take advantage of this matchup, or are they going to implode? Cardinals are up there too for me. The Giants. Another favorable matchup, and that even goes far as even bringing up like the Raiders too, with their matchup. I think they're another good streaming option, just to kind of put a nice bow on that just quickly, yeah, for my options.
All right, we've made it to the lightning round. I'm very impressed with both of your work today, so let's not drop the ball here. Let's go to rapid fire, keep or drop, everybody. I'm going to give you a name of somebody, somewhere around 50% rostered. You're going to tell me if you're keeping or dropping them on your roster. Eric, we'll start with you. Okay. David Johnson, Houston Texans, keep or drop?
Drop.
Drop. He is done. Yates, I see you nodding in agreement. You are done.
Drop him.
Ramondre Stevenson, who was inactive this past week against the Jets. Is it time to drop Stevenson, Yates?
Yeah. I don't think that outside of like deep leagues, I don't think that it should have been really added in the first place, because we did have that hierarchy. We knew that Damian Harris and then James White were going to be key factors there. So Ramondre Stevenson, yeah, he's just a insurance running back at this point. And if you need help, you drop Ramondre Stevenson.
Can we take a moment to just acknowledge the ferocious run of Damian Harris against the Jets? Because that, oh, that was beautiful.
That was fantastic.
So I'm on top of the couch yelling and screaming. Oh, my. Oh, what a fantastic run that was. Stevenson for you, Eric. Drop as well.
Yeah, he has a drop. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Tevin Coleman, running back of the Jets. Eric Moody, stash or drop?
I'm going to drop him. You know, Michael Carter is ascending. I know Yates spoke very highly of him earlier. I agree. Good. So he's an ascending talent. Sorry, Tevin. Got to go.
We're dropping a lot of guys. I know Yates is going to drop Tevin Coleman. I'll have to ask him.
Yep.
Giovanni Bernard, are you dropping him, Yates?
Yeah, I don't want any pieces of this Bucs backfield. So, yes, I will. Even if Bernard is like somewhat in the flex conversation, just from my mental health, I will drop Giovanni Bernard.
Let me tell you, the 49ers have tested my mental health the last 2 weeks. Yeah, let me tell you. I'm sorry, Giovanni Bernard, Eric, for you. Keep or drop.
Yeah, you got to drop him unless you're like in a really, 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 really deep league.
How deep? Okay, just
really deep.
Mecole Hardman, keep or drop, Eric Moody?
Oh, I'm keeping Hardman.
Oh, you are, huh? Still tantalized by the speed. Yates, how about you?
I will hold on to Hardman at the bottom of my bench. But if I need, again, it's kind of the same thing. If I need a wide receiver for this upcoming week, if I can drop Hardman for a Rondale Moore, Darnell Mooney, Tim Patrick, I will do that.
All right. How about, let's see, Terrace Marshall, Yates, keep or drop?
I think he's also like one of these, can I call an insurance wide receiver? Like he is going to bounce. He's going to come into the flex conversation if DJ Moore or Robbie Anderson misses time with an injury, but until that happens, or if that happens, we're not going to feel comfortable ever starting Terrace Marshall. So for me, he was lower on my wide receiver waiver wire list last week. I think that you can drop Terrace Marshall.
Would you drop him for, say, some of the guys this week that are like Tim Patrick?
Yes. Yeah.
Because I feel like there's a lot of people listening to the show who probably drafted Terrace Marshall Jr. late.
Yeah.
And they're sitting there on the bench and they're looking at some of these options going, well, do I want to drop this talent? I think it's okay to do that, everybody. Mm-hmm. I would say it's okay to go pick up somebody who's going to help your roster right now. Eric, you're in agreement too. It's circumstantial.
Yeah. And I think we're all aligned there. You know, if you've got someone that can help you now, go ahead and make the acquisition. But just depending on the depth of your league, if there's not many options, then obviously hold. But yeah, I think we're aligned on Marshall.
Sammy Watkins, keep or drop, Eric Moody.
Drop.
Yates?
Yeah, I didn't want to roster Sammy Watkins in the first place. Been down that road. I'll drop Sammy Watkins.
Last but not least, or maybe least, Marquez Callaway. Oh, this breaks my heart. But you know what? I feel like it's a drop because I know I have him on a few rosters and he's hitting that waiver wire hard for me this week. Eric Moody, are we dropping Marquez Callaway?
Just with being a hardcore Saints fan, I was concerned whenever he kind of got the nod as the quote unquote, you know, number one receiver, just given their matchups. And it's been a tough outing. So you got to dump him.
Yates.
22 receiving yards through two games. Not great for Marquez Callaway. So, and this Saints offense, I mean, is about as much of a roller coaster as you will possibly find. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to deal with it. I'll drop.
Well, Marquez we had Callaway. To think this week was going to be a disaster because of all those coaches being out. Like you had to think the continuity was going to be bad. All those coaches not around, the game plan being sparse and all that. Like I get that. I don't want to overreact to it, but you know what? There's too many guys right now that can help you.
Yeah,
you
that's the thing. There are a lot better options.
It's a great week for wide receiver ads. God knows it's a bad week for tight ends. We just made that abundantly clear, but not so much for wide receiver. So there you have it. There's your week 3 waiver wire, courtesy of Yates and Eric Moody. You can follow Eric on the Twitter machine at Eric N. Moody. And of course, check out all his great work at ProFootballNetwork.com. Moody, what else you got going on these days, my friend?
Yeah, I'll probably say the biggest thing is, with the podcast at PFN, you know, the In the Mood for Fantasy Football podcast. We record two shows a week, you know, hit on the waiver wire, also start sit questions. So if you haven't checked that out, definitely check that out already. And as far as other content, you know, pretty much anything that you can think of, you're wondering about streaming quarterbacks, you know, streaming tight ends, you know, rankings, you can find all that content from me, you know, and the other writers there over at Pro Football Network.
Great stuff as always. It's a pleasure to hang out with you. We got a little Marvel talk in there and a whole lot more football. That's what we want to do. Always. Don't forget, everybody, get that Kyler Murray Football FantasyPros.com/contest and that 3X entry when you subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros. My goodness, is our YouTube channel growing. Shout out to Chris and all of our behind the scenes folks at the YouTube channel making things going so well. And all of you, thank you for subscribing and making us feel so special. You have no idea how important this is. And you guys being a part of this with us, this entire season for this journey is great. So make sure you go. If you haven't already, subscribe to the YouTube channel and click that little notifications button. And while you're subscribing to things, please, for Dan Harris's sanity and his self-esteem, go check out the Kickoff Fantasy Football Podcast. 15 minutes of fantasy football goodness every single morning for you. I want to thank the sponsors of today's show, TickPick.com. Again, head over to TickPick.com/pros. That's TickPick.com to get your NFL tickets. And also don't forget about DraftKings. Download the app today and start playing at the official site for daily fantasy for the NFL. That's DraftKings.com, and use that promo code FantasyPros when you do. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Eric Moody and Kyle Yates, I'm Joey P. We will see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.